Good morning, Sunridge. Good morning, Sunridge. All right, that's better. Good to see you guys. Hey, if this is your first Sunday or you're new to Sunridge, I just want to especially welcome you and let you know that following this service, we have a welcome brunch. And it's true. Some of you are laughing like, ha ha. No, we really do. It's in room 107 right over there, right after this service. If you're new, I promise you, we don't do anything weird in there. We don't ask you to sign up for anything. All we want to do is say hello, and you get to meet me. I don't know how you feel about that. And then our connections pastor, Ken Muncy, and we feed you. It's free food. It's a great time, and it's well under an hour. So if you're just looking for a place to snack after this service, we'd love to have you. You know, we're launching a brand new series today we're calling Resilient. And it really is tied to the words of the Apostle Paul, where he talked about faith, hope, and love. And we're going to be unpacking that over the next 3 weeks here at Sunridge. You know, if you say that an object is resilient, you're saying that it can be compressed or stretched or bent, and it bounces back. Other words are like, you know, it's durable, it's tough, it's sturdy. If you say that a person is resilient, you mean that they can get through difficult circumstances, that situations come and challenge them, and yet they are sturdy in it as well. We use some of the same words, but when we start to talk about a human being resilient, it's more than just getting through it. It's you're irrepressible. There's a buoyancy about people who are resilient. I personally feel that all of us could use a little more resilience. Unless you've been living in a bubble in a nice, comfy, cozy, womb-like existence, I don't know if you noticed or not, but life has challenges. It will bend you, compress you, stretch you, pound on you. And don't all of us want to come out of that a little more resilient? Don't we want a little more than just suffering through? I know that in a group like this, some of you have had challenges to your resiliency just in this past week. You know, maybe you got a layoff notice. You're totally shocked by that. Maybe you're a student and, you know, you're finding out that your dream college is not going to happen, either because of finances or maybe you don't have the grades now. Some of you, you've already done your taxes. You're called an overachiever, and you've been looking forward to what your tax return would be, and something's happened, and now you know that entire tax return is going to go to something else, something you already have, and you got to replace it. All kinds of things come up in life. Some of you, you received a critical word this year. Somebody criticized you and it hurt deep. Or maybe you found a text on your husband or your spouse's phone and you were shocked by what you saw. See, life has its challenges. You know, the Apostle Paul wrote in his first letter to the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 13:13, he said, "Now these three remain: faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love." When Paul said remain, that these three remain, he's other translations of that word are things like endure, stand firm, tough. Paul is saying, I believe, that the people that possess these values, faith, hope, and love, are resilient. You know, when we talk about the resiliency of a person or a thing, we refer to what they're made of. And people or churches or organizations that have in their core a deep faith and hope and love, they're resilient. So this series, Resiliency, is about a new way of looking at life that enables us to stand firm in our personal ups and downs, but also it's a new vision for Sunridge. And I'll explain that as we go forward. You know, I thought today it would be good as we kind of talk about this first word, faith, that we would look at a story of faith from the Bible, remarkable faith. And then we would talk about where faith comes from, what is its source. And then we're going to wrap up with, you know, what can I do as a Christ follower to deepen my faith, to have the kind of faith that helps me be resilient. The story I want to share with you, it's a long passage, so just hang with me, but we're going to go through it pretty quickly. But it comes from Job. You know, some of you are new to the Bible, and you see in the Old Testament this J-O-B. It's not Job, it's Job. And so I tell you that so that if you're ever in a Bible study and you say, yeah, I was reading in Job, I was hoping it would help me find one, that it's a guy's name and you say it Job, okay? Some people have said this book of Job is about suffering, but I think it's a book about faith. And you'll see why as I go through this passage. We don't know a lot about Job. He likely lived before Abraham, after Noah, somewhere in that space. But we do know what happened to him. And he just shows remarkable faith. In Job chapter 1, verse 13, one day Job's sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house. So they're having a family get-together. And a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys were grazing nearby and the Sabaeans attacked and carried them off. And they put the servants to the sword and I'm the only one who escaped to tell you. So this story of Job starts off by, this is not going to be a good day. He loses part of his income, part of his resource, his nest egg, which at that time was in his cattle. And then in verse 16, while that guy is still speaking, another messenger comes and says, the fire of God fell from the sky and burned up the sheep and the servants, and I'm the only one who escaped to tell you. So click another sector of my business gone. But wait, there's more. In verse 17, while he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, the Chaldeans formed three raiding parties, this nomadic tribe, and they swept down on your camels and carried them off, and they put the servants to the sword, and I'm the only one who's escaped to tell you, this is not a good day. In verse 18, while he's still speaking, yet another messenger came and says, your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the four corners of the house. It collapsed on them and they are dead. And I'm the only one who has escaped to tell you. Now, stop here. Because in one day, this story of Job, it tells us that he lost all of his business. And it's a business that you can't just rebuild tomorrow. That he has all this time and money in raising stock. He's wiped out in a day. And if that's not enough, he now loses his family in a tragic accident. And in verse 20, it says that at this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head, and then he fell to the ground and worshiped. It's like in the moment of this crisis, you see something that it continues through this story of Job. Like you see this deep faith. In chapter 2, there's a gap between where we just ended off, and it's like there's an interaction in the story between God and Satan, and Satan is basically taunting God about this faithful servant of his, Job, and he's saying, you know, of course he would follow you. You do everything for him. And so in chapter 1, I can't explain this, but God allows Satan to touch his life in this tragic way and take away his business and his family. But then It's like Satan taunts God a little further, and he's like, yeah, he's still faithful to you, but that's only because you haven't touched him. You know, essentially, Job is a selfish man, and you took everything away from him, but nothing has touched him. And so, in chapter 2, verse 7, Satan afflicted Job with painful sores, from the soles of his feet to the top of his head. And then we find Job in such misery that he's taking pottery and scraping himself as he sits among the ashes. So he's lost everything, even his personal health. And then in verse 9, his wife said to him, "Are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die." "Thanks, honey." You know, whatever Job's faithfulness is, it may indicate here that he had a dysfunctional marriage. I don't know. And he replied in verse 10, "You're talking like a foolish woman," after which he ducked very quickly. But he says, "Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" And all this, God did not sin, or Job did not sin in what he said. You know, I read this story, and it's like, it's remarkable to me. It's disturbing in many ways. But one thing rises to the top. A man who has incredible faith in the midst of, for me, humanly speaking, the worst scenario I could ever imagine. I don't know if you've lost loved ones in the past few days or years or where you are with your business, but I know that all of us face these kinds of challenges in our lives. And if you're like me, you want to be resilient in that. You want to have resilient faith. Now, it's important to note here that the strength of our faith is not, it's not the strength of our faith that saves us. It's the object of our faith that saves us. See, most of us sitting here, you have faith in something. You have faith in education, in science, in psychology. Some of us have faith in faith, but that's not what I'm talking about here. They're all good things that inform us and make life better. But it's saving faith in Jesus Christ that is the starting point for resilient faith. Paul wrote in Romans, we have been justified through faith. And justified here, you know, some preachers will say, you know, it's just as if I have never sinned. This justification, this rightness with God comes through faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. You see, saving faith starts a life of faith, but saving faith begins in relationship with Jesus Christ. This is the gospel. The gospel is that mankind is broken, and there is only one remedy for that brokenness. That separation from God, our sinfulness that's innate in us, the only thing that can save us is Jesus Christ. This is where resilient faith starts. See, saving faith is a starting point, but saving faith is only a starting point. Resilient faith is meant to grow and to thrive and to wrap itself around our lives, and our lives to be wrapped around that. This is why Paul says in his letter to the Galatians, "The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God." I don't just believe in faith or believe in Christ in faith to be saved. My life I live, this life that I have in my body, I live through the faith I have in Jesus Christ. Faith is meant to grow deeper over time. That's why the apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." I want my faith deeper. I want it bigger. See, faith in Christ, it's not just a one-time event. It's not just disaster insurance. The best day of my faith is not the day I believed, The best day of my faith is the next day when I started to live by faith. When I use the word faith, I'm talking about trust. This is a direct translation of the word faith. We have this kind of murky idea of what faith is. Faith is to have trust or confidence in God. So when I use that word, that's what I'm not talking about a thing I believe in or a creed or a list of things or a doctrinal statement. I'm talking about resilient faith has to be rooted in my trust in God. Now, gut check here for all of us. Do you trust God? I didn't ask, do you read your Bible or do you go to church or are you doing a lot of religious activity? I asked, do you really trust God? Because this is the source of resilient faith. The kind of faith I'm talking about is not just I filled out a card or I made a confession of faith. Resilient faith says, no matter what comes, okay, God, we can do this. We can get through it. We might be able to get over it. And even if it runs me over, I will get up again. That is resilient faith. The picture, one of the pictures of resilient faith in the Bible is of a tree with deep roots. Psalm 1 talks about the man who is planted near the waters and his leaf never withers. He bears fruit in his season, but even in the times of drought, his leaf does not wither because his roots are sunk deep. That's kind of the picture of faith. Resilient faith is a deeply rooted faith. Resilient faith is deeply rooted in Jesus Christ. That's why Paul writes to the Colossians in Colossians 2:7, he says that we are to be rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith. Look at these words. Let them jump off the page at you. It's like rooted. We're already talking about the concept of a tree with deep roots. And built up, there's like a strengthening of those roots. Strengthened in the faith, which means secure or stable. The picture there is of a tree whose roots go deep and are strong. And so no matter if the wind blows, which it will, no matter if drought comes, which it will, I survive and thrive because my roots are deep. You know, a tree never stops growing roots. The tree is the ultimate overachiever. You know this. If you planted a tree too close to your patio or your driveway and it's starting to heave up, right? And you're like, oh. When you planted that little thing, you never thought it would do that. My mom had this tree in her front yard, and it was a giant sycamore, probably 40 or 50 feet tall, and we had it removed because its roots were just trashing everything. And we saw the surface roots, but we had no idea what an overachiever this tree had been. We called it the tree that ate Temecula, because when we had that tree taken out and then we started putting the lawn in, me and my son-in-law, Phil, it had roots everywhere this big, and you couldn't do anything. Like, you tried to dig a trench, root. It had wrapped itself around every sprinkler head. It was pushing the concrete up. This tree had roots everywhere, and we didn't even fathom how much. When the tree guy came out to cut it down, we were saying, man, this tree's got some roots, and he goes, oh, yeah, this, you have no idea. These roots are going out three times as tall as the tree. So those roots are over in your neighbor's yard. And I'm like, good, they can grow over there all they want. I want them out of here. You see, a deeply rooted tree can survive drought. But a tree without deep roots, it's going to die in periods of dryness. It's going to blow over when the wind comes. We want a deeply rooted faith because shallow faith won't last. Shallow faith is not resilient. Now, I just want to continue this metaphor for the rest of the message, let's talk about like what are things practically that we can do to make sure that our roots are going deep in our faith. The first thing is that we have to feed our faith on purpose and regularly. I'm no botanist, but every tree, every plant needs water and resources, and it needs it on a regular basis, which means that the Christian who wants a deep faith, we have to be intentional about this. We can't be haphazard. It's like any other relationship. It takes time and effort. And this is the way the Apostle Paul approaches this idea of like deepening our faith. In Philippians 3:10, he says, I want to know Christ in the power of his resurrection. See, Paul doesn't say, I want to know a lot about the Bible, or I want to know so much about doctrine. These are all very important things. But he says, in the end, the thing that I want is to know Christ. When we have that as a goal, we feed that faith intentionally and regularly. You know, Cindy and I have been married last September, 38 years. To each other, by the way. All 38 years to one another. That's applause for Cindy. I'm sure you're like, oh, the woman's a saint. And we've been through all the typical crises that families face. Financial, child raising, almost murdering a few children on occasion. Challenges in our relationship and communication. One thing has remained steady is we've been intentional, and this largely goes to her. It's like we've been intentional about the development of our relationship. So today, it's really easy because we don't have kids at home. We're empty nesters. You know, you cry when your kids leave for college, and you cry if they come back. That's all I'll say about that. We are enjoying emptiness because I can come home, and we can just, like, download our day. It's super easy, but we were very intentional about it, even in the busy days of our lives. And our kids can tell you that there were times where, like, they wanted to talk to us, and we would close the bedroom door and lock it. And there would be little fingers coming underneath the door, Mommy, Daddy. And we're like, stay out, because we were talking. That's important. You guys are a bunch of creepy people out there. We really were. We were like having a conversation and making sure that, we went on dates. We did all that stuff. Like, we're intentional about that relationship. So imagine what our relationship would be like if over the last 38 years, the essence of our communication was that once a week, we went to a place where there was a guy who talked about our spouse for 30 or 35 minutes, 35 today probably. And that's how we found out. We existed off of no communication between one another, but this guy was really good at telling us about one another. You know, the truth is, most Christians are developing their relationship with God on that model. That you're hearing about God, but you're not being intentional about your relationship and getting to know him. If we pursue Christ and knowing him and all the facets that entails, our roots will grow deep. Not because of our activity, not because of our hard work that we put in, but because of his character. And knowing Christ will fan your faith into flame, and your roots will grow deep. I just mixed metaphors there. Sorry about that. Casual intentionality will not create deep faith, and you will not have a resiliency about you without that deep faith. Now, depending on where you are in your walk with God, deepening your faith means different things. For some of you, it's like, you know, you're sailing along and you're engaged in Bible study and you got your plan together. But there, some of us are here today and you don't even know how to get started. Let me tell you, you want to start being intentional about deepening your roots, read the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, four biographies of the life of Jesus. Just start there. You can just remember this, the daily bread. You can Google the daily bread. You can sign up, and they'll send you a daily mini little passage of scripture to read and a story with it and a little bit of application. You gotta start somewhere so that your roots grow deep. Second thing, in deepening our faith, we have to grow roots within a forest of others. See, the idea of a lone tree standing on a hill or on a rock all by itself, that's super unique. That's not normal, though. Maybe you're that lone tree that can thrive without connection to other trees, but most trees grow in a forest. And in that forest, they intertwine their roots with one another, and that strengthens them. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians these words in chapter 3 of his first letter to them. He said, "We sent Timothy, who is our brother and God's fellow worker in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith." I want you to notice that Paul says, "I wanted to strengthen your faith, and I sent you a person. I didn't send you a Bible verse. I didn't send you a list of churches. I didn't send you Spurgeon's notes. I didn't send you a podcast. I sent you a person." People have a powerful effect on the deepening of our faith. And I know you get it. It's like there's strength in numbers, but it's much bigger than this. So I'm going to unleash my inner nerd on you right now, so bear with me. I listened to this podcast called Radiolab. Anybody fans of Radiolab? Okay, this is my people right there. And in June or July this year, they did a story that they called From Tree to Shining Tree. And in it, they tracked something that scientists are only now beginning to discover, that there are these white fibrous things that you find in tree roots. And, you know, for years they didn't know what it was. I mean, this goes back even a couple of hundred years. Only in the last 20 years or so have they been able to learn about these hairs. They're so prolific that in a pinch of dirt, you could have up to 7 miles of these things. They've since learned that these are not fibers, they are tubes. And these tubes are taking minerals and nutrients from the soil and feeding them to the trees. And then the trees, in turn, are sharing their resources with other trees in their proximity. Not even just next to them, literally hundreds of feet away. The biggest, largest tree in the forest has the most developed system of these tubes. It's a fungus, actually, that is doing this. And without this fungus to assist the trees in growth and to bring minerals, a tree could not grow over a foot tall. They would fold over like a limp tulip, because there are certain things that a tree can pull out of the soil, but without these tubes, it can't bring the minerals and other things that make the tree able to grow. And it interconnects all these trees. They found out that, like, trees are sharing resources among one another from 20 to 80% of what they pull out of the soil. They're giving back. They're taking and giving back to one another in the forest. They call this the wood wide web. That's not the scientific term. You see, what I'm saying in my little science lesson here is that trees are communal. so are Christians. And it's more than just we strengthen one another. We're feeding one another. So your church is your fungus. And your pastor is a fun guy. I wrote that on my notes, and I knew it was cheesy, but it was good. So let me push a little further. Paul, again, writing to the Thessalonians, he says in chapter 5, verse 11 of his first letter, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." Now, remember, in this other verse, I said that to strengthen their faith, Paul sent a person. Notice here that Paul is saying to the people, you build each other up. This is not a pastor telling a pastor what to do. This is the pastor telling the people what to do. And he's saying that we are to build each other up. Now, let me be your pastor here for a second, okay? Just imagine that I'm your pastor. We have a responsibility to others and to ourselves to deepen one another's faith. And there, in my opinion, there's an unhealthy dependency on pastors in most churches. You rely upon the pastor to provide excellent sermons and feed you. But it's like, notice here that we're all supposed to be strengthening one another, deepening our roots. We're going to hold a memorial service here next weekend for a man named Mike Biggs. And his name reflects who he was. He's a big man. If I put his face up on the screens, you would know who he was because you'd see him from the hallway and everything. And Mike became a Christian at this church. And the thing, though, that's remarkable about Mike, and he had all kinds of health challenges at the end of his life and everything. There's all kinds of things going on with him. But like when he became a Christian, he almost immediately joined the Saturday morning men's Bible study. He became part of a home group. And Mike sunk his roots with a bunch of other Christians in various ways. And he grew remarkably in those short years that he'd been here at Sunridge. It's more than just about, like, I mean, I could tell you stories like with this memorial service, the people that he knows are going to be here and be participating and caring for him. But, like, I want you to see that, like, the stature of Mike spiritually was influenced by the people that he had in his life. And he did the same for others. This is the Sunridge growth model, you know? It's like we can't just exist just off weekly Bible teaching. We have to sink our roots deep with one another. And that begins with, like, taking a step and being intentional about that as well. I mean, I wonder how many of you, you sit in the same area every week. Raise your hand. If you're in your area, okay. Okay, how many of you park basically in the same spot every week? Okay, so if you're not in a relationship yet at Sunridge, you already found your people. You sit in the same area, you park in the same area, and I bet when you're walking and you see them, that's the start of a relationship. These are your people. Look around. The next line you could use is like, hey, do you work out? And if they say no, you go, yeah, me neither. See how much we have in common already? We sit in the same place. If you're trying to exist off of one person's teaching or your own Bible reading on your own or study, I just want to encourage you. Like, connect in to the growth providing relationships. I can't always explain it, how being with other Christians builds our faith, but it does. The last thing, besides being intentional and growing your roots with other Christians, is to cultivate a heart that allows the roots of faith to grow deep. You know, I planted a tree in my backyard, or I did like most people. The house I'm in right now, I bought in 03, and you know, put the whole yard in. And what I realized pretty quickly is my entire backyard was built on a giant clay ball. I think if anyone ever wanted to mine clay, they could come to my backyard. And I was digging these holes for sprinkler trenches and for trees, and you couldn't break through it. And I would fill it up with water, you know, like you're supposed to do, and then the next day come back and it'll be softer. That water would just still be there. I could put in a pool and never gunite it. I could just dig a hole. It'd be a muddy hole, but it would hold the water. And I did my best to like dig past that thing. I never got by it. And when I planted that tree, those trees, they really struggled in the beginning. They were just, you know, like drowning, basically, because whatever water went in there and just stayed there. Sometimes our hearts can get like that. Our hearts can, we can go through all the motions and still be, you know, like engaging with other people and you know, being intentional about our pursuit, but like something can change in our heart. That's why the writer of Hebrews, I believe in chapter 10, verse 22, he says, "Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith." So when I'm trying to sink my roots deep, it's like I have to make sure the soil of my heart is ready for those roots to grow and to go deep. In the parable of the sower and the seed, it was the soil that was a big factor in whether the seed sprouted or not, where it found itself landing. And I think the Word of God is the same way. And the things that God wants to use to deepen our faith, if we let our hearts get hard, we need to ask ourselves, you know, not just, am I doing all the stuff I'm supposed to do as a Christian and reading my Bible and I'm in a home group, but like, really, very important question to ask is, where's my heart right now? Is my heart open? Is my heart like soft to the things of God? Am I letting God nudge me and move me? If my heart has grown hard, maybe I need to like break up that soil. Maybe I need to throw some amendments in that soil. Maybe I need to get on a different track or find some way to soften my heart to the things of God. I know that all of us here, we want to be resilient in life. We want to be able to bounce back from the things that life brings us. One of the keys to remaining and being sturdy is having a deep faith. This idea of deepening our faith is both personal and corporate here at Sunridge. I'd ask you, like, personally, when you hear a message like this, when you hear about deepening your faith, there may be some things that come to mind. You say, you know, like, I need to change something. There's something I need to go deeper with God. What is that thing that's coming to mind? And then I want you to know that at Sunridge, this is part of a new vision here at Sunridge. We are going to hang initiatives off of these ideas in order that we will make resilient people and a resilient church. We want to go deep in our faith. We want to bring hope, and we want to live love. But it all goes back to faith. In the beginning, it's like, that's our basis. Everything springs from there, so we can't skip this step. We have a personal responsibility to engage in our faith, and yet Sunridge, over the next few years, is going to be providing opportunities for all of us to go deeper in our faith, different ways, and I hope that you'll be sensitive to that, and I hope that you'll join us and making this a place where we're reaching people for Christ, that are exploring faith. It's a safe place for them to be, but also we're a place where we go deep in our faith. Probably there's some of you today that are here and you haven't even started a relationship with God. You haven't even experienced saving faith. And I want to say to you, like, it's very simple. People are broken, and Jesus came to save us. We're sinful. We're far from God in our own nature, yet there's a spark in us that draws us to God. And it's kind of what we do with that. Am I willing to open my heart to Christ? There's no magic prayer, but I would just say that it's an easy prayer. Your prayer, if you're ready to take a step and confess faith to Christ, you just simply say, God, I'm a sinner and I need you to save me. Thank you for saving me. I mean, there's like all kinds, I can't give you every detail to pray, but that's something. And if you do that, the Bible says that Christ comes to live within you and faith comes alive. And that will be a great moment for you. But I promise you it'll be even greater tomorrow when you start to live by that faith. Because God wants our faith to grow and thrive in us, not just be an event that we did back here. If you've done that, if you've prayed that prayer and you've never let anybody know, we would love to know. We'd love for you to just put on your in-touch card, I received Christ today. We don't do anything weird. We just offer some ways you can grow. You can put that in the give box. But we would just like to know and be a resource to you if that's where you're at. If you've already placed your faith in Christ, then I encourage you. I encourage you to begin today to deepen your faith with God in the ways that God is revealing to you, and to join Sunridge in the next few years in the things that we're going to do to deepen our faith here. Let's pray. God, each one of us has struggles every day. Some of them are big and some of them are just kind of like little bumps in the road. But we feel it. We feel the stretching and the bending and the pounding day in and day out. And we want to be resilient. We don't want to be destroyed by it. We want to overcome it. In this moment, if there are people among us that need to take that step of saving faith, would you lead them to do that? If those that are exploring, make this church, God, a place where people can explore that safely and ask their questions without fear or embarrassment. And for those who have confessed faith in Christ, I pray that you would sink our roots deep so that we're resilient and make this church a place where people can sink their roots deep in faith as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.